I don't think they need permission. They need more. They need more than that. They need to know that it is okay to try something new, and it's okay if it doesn't go perfect. And that's in our profession, that's really been reinforced, that there's one way to do it. And if you do it this way, we call you a good teacher. And what we're saying now is the important piece is the learning and the experience. And so how we do that is what matters. And how do we trust our professionals and give them the resource and the time that they need? And that's been the biggest game changer.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brighter Together podcast. My name is Janet Courtney, and my special guest today is Dr. Kelly Coffin. Kelly is the superintendent at Farmington Public Schools in Farmington, Michigan. Kelly, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here with you.
Awesome. So tell us, Kelly, what is happening in Michigan and Farmington at your schools?
Oh my gosh, so much is happening in Michigan, especially in Farmington Public Schools. What I'm most excited about really is we've just launched our school year, and it's been amazing. I've been in the district for 6 years. This is my kind of second year starting as the superintendent here. And I'm just thrilled about the work that we've done to really think differently about K-12 education and really reimagining what school can be. And that really means not just for our students, but for the adults who have committed their lives to supporting our students through all of the good times and the challenging times as well. And so this is the first year really where we, with our profile of a lifelong learner, with our vision, our mission, we have a true focus that is collective across the entire district. And so I'm really, really excited for this year to see what amazing things occur and happen with our students.
Awesome. And for those of you that are listening, it is September 3rd, 2025, but we always have about a 6 to 8 week delay. So by the time you hear this, they're going to be 2 weeks, 2 months into the school year. So so what are some of those initiatives that you have going, and give us a little bit of a glimpse into what the plans are?
Sure. So we work really hard to find partners who help us accelerate our work. And so we have been working with a partner for the last 4 years, really working on authentic learning experiences for our students. So that means moving away from the more general acquisition type of learning to meaning making and then transferring it to a new context. And that really started out with a small group, but now has expanded across all of our buildings, all different disciplines, all different levels. And so that's really been the base and the foundation of our reimagination. And what we know, too, is that it's important for our teachers to have the time they deserve to be able to plan and prepare for students. So we're thinking differently about our staffing models and thinking less isolation. So one teacher with a classroom of 25 to 30 students and feeling like they have the weight of the learning experience on their own. And so in all of our buildings, we have places where teachers are working collaboratively throughout the day, some in shared spaces, some of their time in shared spaces, working collaboratively on projects. One of our partners, New Tech Network, we work in our middle schools on project-based learning. So we're in our third year of that. Mm-hmm. And so really just thinking differently about how we're structured and making sure that our teachers have the resources and the time they need to be able to meet the needs of our students.
Very good. Very good. So how many students do you guys have?
We have around just over 9,000 students. And so we have preschool all the way through age 26.
Oh, so you have some alternative or extended school as well. Tell me a little bit about that.
Yeah. So in Michigan, if you're a young adult with an IEP, you and have not earned your high school diploma, you are educated through the year, through your 26th birthday. And so one of the nice parts about that is they are out in our community learning, getting some good job skills and getting connected into the community where they are going to live. And so we're just thrilled to have, we have about 70 young men and women who are part of those programs and are very actively involved in our community.
Very cool. That's very, very cool. I was interviewing a lady the other day. They launched a coffee truck, and it was a It's a great episode. I'm super excited for it to come out. But it's about same thing, transition, giving places for these young adults to work with special needs, and just how God brought that all about and all of the things that lined up to make it work. It was beautiful. She about had me in tears. But it's so exciting. I'm a special educator. You know, I mean, as a speech therapist of 31 years, you know, seeing kids and working with them and having them be successful and having ways. I love what schools are doing to try to find places and ways for them to be successful. It's not just like, okay, you go to school, you don't graduate because you can't qualify to graduate, and then you just go and be in a group home for the rest of your life. That's not education anymore. It's so cool. So yeah, that's awesome. That's awesome. So you talk about how you're changed, you know, and I think some of this, when I think about, because I've been hearing this quite a bit of schools, how they're reimagining how they're educating kids because technology and AI and all of these things that are happening, it's no longer let's learn rote stuff. And so can you expand a little bit on some of those programs and what's happening there in your school? That's exciting.
Yeah, one of the things that, as I mentioned, we have our profile of a lifelong learner. So what are the skills, attributes, and disposition we want our students to leave with us? And we've realized just the traditional way of thinking about teaching and learning doesn't help our kids become prepared for the future they are going to face. Right. We can't prepare them for the future we face. Their future is very different. And so when we think about that, we know that teachers can't do it alone. We know that we have to really take into account the pressures that are on our young children all the way up through our young adults when they leave us. And so how do we help them be able to, as I mentioned, be able to make meaning, be able to take that and transfer and find joy, you know, really about finding joy in the learning experience. And that's for the adults as well as the students. So anything that we'll design, you could walk through any of our buildings and it wouldn't all look the same because it depends on the adults. They are really at the center of the design. We make sure that our teachers have the resources that they deserve. So high quality learning resources and not feeling like they have to go out and find those. Quality professional development. We provide the space during the day for our teachers to have the time and space to do their professional learning. We don't expect it all to happen after hours. And again, we do that because of the way we look at our staffing models. Some of our partners that help accelerate the learning. We're working here in Michigan. We have the Michigan Education Workforce Initiative, and they reached out to us and said, how can we come and talk to you about, you know, the different staffing models and how do we support kind of opening up the classroom doors and allowing teachers and students to work more collaboratively. And as we think about our work with project-based learning, it really requires our students to think beyond themselves, beyond their family, really beyond our community. And then how are they going to make a difference? And that is where the real learning happens. That's right. Where the math is meaningful and the written communication is more meaningful. And we're finding that our students really, truly enjoy moving away from just like read a chapter, take the test, get a grade, but to more of there's really this authentic piece to it that they really understand why it's important for them to be able to understand certain concepts.
So how many times in our lives have we heard as educators, why do I have to take this algebra class? Why do I have to take this trig class? I'm never going to use this as an adult. And here we are. You are applying, teaching them how to apply this into exactly what they're doing, you know, and how it applies. And that's exciting. That's really cool. Yeah. I still don't know how the trig worked, but
we had a fifth grade class and the teacher was trying to help them understand area. And then they finally just realized, let's just use the space we have and let's figure out how many desks would fit in here. And so in talking with the students, well, they didn't call it area. They were able to absolutely solve that problem. And students would say, we're never going to forget now what area really means.
Right. Yeah.
Versus just doing it in a workbook or in a, you know, a different way. So
one thing I often hear from school leaders is I just want a partner who puts students first. At Lighthouse Therapy, that's exactly what we do. We don't have outside investors and we don't answer to shareholders. Instead, we answer to school leaders like you, those listening to this podcast.
Whether you're wanting virtual, hybrid, or in-person therapy, our systems are designed to make your life easier and your team stronger. We are a therapy company run by therapists for therapists for the betterment of students. Visit lighthouse-therapy.com/brighter together to learn how we can help you support your students this year.
We had at our house in Michigan, when we were living in Michigan, it was a split level house. And so the basement was one part of the house. And one of the kids wanted their own bedroom down there, right? And so, and it was 8 inches thick. The wall was when they poured the concrete. And so we had to have an egress in order for it to be called a bedroom, right? So we had them cut this section out. And then my kids and I were like, okay, how much does that piece of concrete weigh when you cut this much out, this height, this depth, whatever, and then how thick it was. And so they did that math and we figured out it was almost a half a ton. And so my husband went, nope, and plopped it down into the bottom of the window well, because there was no way we were getting that thousand pounds of concrete out of that hole. So it became the bottom of the hole. And then he just made sure that it didn't drain back to the house. We wanted it to drain out. And it was what a great thing to learn and to apply to. So that same kind of concept was, like, wow. And it's something that I never forgot, that it was almost 1,000 pounds, And then 1,000 pounds is a half a ton, right? And the kids learned that too, as we were doing that math. It was really fun. It was a great experience for them. And for me all these years later to go, yep, there it is. It's still in there. I don't own that house anymore, but I know that concrete is down there at the bottom of that window. So that's how you learn, right? That's something that just those kinds of experiences just stay with you. And I think that we as educators have recognized that not everybody, I was even through college and grad school, I'm not a person that reads textbooks. I don't learn by reading. My husband will laugh at me because he's like, I get you a new thing. And I hand him the pamphlet or the instructions because there's no way that I am going, especially when cell phones used to have those great big thick, now they don't even give you anything. But I'm like, I'm not reading that. I won't learn. I have a little Mini Cooper. And I was like, when I got it, I was like, okay, I'm going to read this manual. I'm going to learn everything there is about. I fell asleep after the first two. We were driving somewhere and I fell asleep after the first. It's not how I learn.
Yeah.
So I hand it to somebody else and they could read it and then teach me. Right. So it's fun. That's fun. I love that for your kids. So what kinds of, you've been doing this for a couple of years now?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So what kinds of outcomes are you seeing? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
Oh, you're fine. So what we are seeing is that students and teachers are more engaged in the learning experience. And again, I think a lot of times from a district level, or you think about a system, of course, we're there to serve our students and families, but we can't skip over the adults and the needs of the adults. And so what's different about this is it isn't a top-down saying this is the expectation and everybody has to do it this way, because then we're not taking into account the strengths and the experiences that our adults bring. So we just talk about, like, how do we open up the learning experience for everyone? How do we make sure that kids are getting what they need when they need it? How do we make sure adults aren't feeling alone and isolated, even though they're with people all day? And so that's really the premise of our work. And then truly giving them the tools and the experience and giving the adults the chance to struggle through some of these things before they have to go and either lead it or work with the students that they serve. And that's been the game changer, I think, for our teachers to feel safe enough to try. It might not go well the first time. That is okay, because that's how we're all learning. And so it's really taken root now to a point where our teachers, there isn't one way that it has to be done. And I think there's also this collegiality that's been developed, because I can see teachers who know each other from different buildings saying, oh, you're doing this, I can do that. And there's just this excitement about trying something new. And I think it's also about another outcome has been, we often hear that teachers need permission. I don't think they need permission. They need more than that. They need to know that it is okay to try something new, and it's okay if it doesn't go perfect. And that's it, in our profession, that's really been reinforced, that there's one way to do it. And if you do it this way, we call you a good teacher. And what we're saying now is the important piece is the learning and the experience. And so how we do that is what matters. And how do we trust our professionals and give them the resource and the time that they need? And that's been the biggest game changer. So what are we seeing? We're seeing our student groups who traditionally that have been marginalized in the learning experiences, making some significant gains in achievement. Yeah. And that's really what this is about, is expecting to do the same thing and getting, you know, a different result is not the way it's going to work for us. And so as we start to see that, our teachers are now excited. They can't wait to see how their students did versus dreading certain assessments. They now see like, oh, how can I use this to tweak or change? But again, that only happens when they have the resources, the time, and the, you know, the support and the trust that we have in our adults who are working with our kids.
Right. And when they embrace it, it becomes theirs. And that's, yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then, and certainly 200 minds versus two, you know, makes a huge difference. Yeah. And then, and so what do you say to the new teacher that might be coming into your district who might be intimidated by this and go, oh, I don't know. I'm like, I was trained this way and now you're asking me to do this thing. What do you say to them? And I know you already have an answer because I'm sure you hire people all the time.
We do. And what's the interesting part of this is that when we hire teachers who are coming straight from college and maybe they're student teaching, I will hear time and again, like, this is what we were taught in college, but yet we've often done our student teaching or practicums or other in a more traditional setting. So they're very excited to come into a system because it's truly this, they said this is what we need to be doing. And it's so nice to be in a system where we can do that. And I also hear it from veteran teachers who leave one district and come to ours, you know, are very open about saying we've waited our whole career to be able to do this. And so that excitement and joy in the adults is just, that's what keeps me going. That's what keeps our
contagious, isn't it? It's contagious.
It is. Yeah. And to see them excited again about the profession, you know, going through COVID, we were, you know, teachers were seen as these heroes. And then all of a sudden it was kind of like, well, what happened while they were, you know, during this time? And so it's been a difficult time to be in education as you're thinking about trying to navigate all the changes post-COVID, the influx of technology and artificial intelligence, and everything's coming at our teachers. And so how do we start to let them feel and know that they have expertise, experience, qualities, strengths that we need? And then how do we work collaboratively to work through the challenges that we are going to face as educators?
Yeah. And then what do you do for those that say, well, how do you grade them? How do you quantify what you're, and how do you know it's quality? The naysayers, what do you say to them?
So we talk a lot about our grading practices, and really it's not about one way's right and one way's wrong, but what does this really mean? And so having our teachers in their professional learning communities or their professional learning teams to really think about if we're, you know, we still provide the traditional grades, you know, for our students on their transcripts, but what does that mean? And our teachers, just having them be able to have the space and time to think about what is an A and what does that mean? And our building administrators are really leading this work and having real conversations about, you know, what does this mean? And are there other ways that students can show what they know? There might be one traditional way we might think of, But how can we open that up to think differently if we really know what an A stands for and what kids need to know and be able to do, then how are other ways they can show us? And I'll tell you, at least in our middle schools and high schools, our teachers are leading the charge in that of thinking differently. And so we know then that's when parents feel more comfortable when they hear their teacher saying, I can tell you now that this letter grade really does mean something, and here's what it means. You know, we do a lot of standards-based reporting up through sixth grade. And so parents are accustomed to getting feedback in that way. And so I often hear from new parents of middle schoolers saying, I don't know what a C means, because we've always just gotten feedback. And so we'll say to those teachers, think about that. Our parents are asking for more feedback. What do you need as far as training, professional development, space, time, to be able to really meet with your teams and talk about this? So our middle schools are structured in a way so they have a common planning time as a team, and they get to meet every day. And so they get to grapple with these questions versus being left alone to try to figure it out. So it's just been wonderful to have this, again, teachers at the center.
Nice. Very, very nice. Okay. One last question. And I try to ask this to most, not everybody, but most. So you can't say money, because we all know that money is something that everybody needs. I don't think there's any school out there would say, oh yeah, I'm funded 100%. I have absolutely everything I need. But it sounds like you guys are doing okay there too. That's great. But what if you could just fix one thing, miraculously fix whatever it is in your world as a superintendent at Farmington Public Schools, if you could just fix one thing and it wouldn't be a problem anymore, what would that one thing be?
That's a great question. One thing. I think the piece of it is just having our parents and our community trust and engage this work. As we think about, you know, the work we're doing, you might see some of this happening in a private school or, you know, like that. But
Montessori or something like that.
Yeah. But for a K-12 public education system, it sometimes is a little bit different than what people would expect. So I think it's just one thing I would just ask is that people engage in the conversation, continue to provide feedback that helps us be better. I mean, I appreciate when people reach out and share, you know, things, wonderings or questions or why did this happen? That's what helps us to do a better job. And so I think that's the one thing is just the trust and engagement and really being part of this journey with us.
Right. Yeah, that's a great answer. Okay, so Kelly, where do people go if they want to learn more about what's going on at Farmington Public Schools?
People can go to our website at farmington.k12.mi.us, and they can find information on everything that we talked about and more today.
Awesome. Thanks.